Good afternoon. I slightly changed the title of the talk to the particle spectrum of a 4D n equals 4 gauge theory and PQWebs. The work reported here is mostly based on work with Ofer Aharoni, Ami Hanani, Joachim Ramfeld, and Oren Bergman. In this talk, rather than review the subject of PQWebs, I would like to discuss a specific application. The subject is the particle spectrum of 4D n equals 4 gauge theory with a broken gauge group where the SUNC group is broken to its U1 factors. By spectrum, I mean both the description of the masses and the multiplet structure, that is the spins of the stable particles. For the BPS spectrum, the suggested picture will be quite complete. BPS states exist in regions of moduli space bounded by marginal stability walls. For a state with a given charges, I will provide a bound on the spin and the method to determine the multiplet structure in principle. The stable non-BPS spectrum, of course, is much harder to analyze, but there is some reason for optimism. The non-BPS states are continuously connected to BPS states, and I will explain later why I have BPS in quotes, and perturbative calculations can be done both at weak and at strong coupling because we have the S-duality of this theory. The talk is organized as follows. I will start with a setup of the configuration and will review the result for two colors. Then I will proceed to three colors where essentially we have only BPS states as stable states. And then I will proceed to four and more colors where the talk will turn somewhat more speculative. I should mention a disclaimer at this point. The discussed phenomena will be demonstrated in the framework of a certain web model. And it remains to be checked whether or how many of the phenomena survive the field theory limit. As I believe that these phenomena that we describe here, the marginal stability, the bound on the spin, and the stable non-BPS states were not known so far, I think these considerations are useful as motivation for further research. So the setup is a brain realization. We take NC D3 brains in type 2B string theory. We take their 3 plus 1 world volume directions to be common or parallel, and I don't show them here in the picture. The coupling constant is inherited from type 2B, the complex coupling constant. The moduli space is parameterized by the locations of the three brains, so X, A's are the locations, and when I multiply it by the string tension, we get the the field theory VEVs. We factorize out the center of mass, the U1 center of mass, by imposing this constraint. This configuration has the 16 preserved supersymmetry, or N equals 4, and we still need to take the field theory limit. The field theory limit says that we need to take the string scale to infinity while keeping the field theory masses fixed. So all the distances become very small, and that's why I have here that the string length is much larger than all the other dimensions in the problem. To specify the charges of a state, we need to give a NC doublet PQ, or electric and magnetic charges. And there is one constraint that tells us that no state is charged under the center of mass U1 that we decoupled. So let's recall what happens for the group SU2. Then the spectrum is well known. It consists of the PQ dions. These are BPS states. PQ are relatively prime integers. Their mass is given by this formula. And they all lie in a vector multiplet of N equals 4 that has 16 states, as they are all related to the W particles, which of course are in the vector multiplet through an SL2Z transformation, and they're all half BPS, preserving 8 supersymmetries. In the brain realization, we can simply think of them as a PQ string connecting the two D3 brains. Now, of course, it's not enough to show this picture. Strong evidence for this picture was supplied by Sen, who demonstrated the existence of these dions in the monopole number 2 using a semi-classical method. Before proceeding to SU3, we need to introduce WEBs, which will be the main tool to find the BPS states there. So let's recall the definition of a PQWeb. As far as I'm aware, this was essentially done first by Aharoni and Hanani. So we consider a collection of lines in the plane, in the XY plane, each line carrying a PQ label, and they have to satisfy two conditions. The first condition is that the slope of each line is given or determined by its PQ labels. So a fundamental string will always be vertical, a D string, which is a 0-1, will always be horizontal, and the 1-1 string will always be in 45 degrees, well, depending on the coupling constant. I will usually draw the picture such that tau equals to I. So that means that the coupling constant is at the self-dual point. So that's the slope condition. The next condition is the junction condition, telling us that at each that these lines are allowed to meet at junctions as long as the PQ charges are conserved. The incoming and outgoing PQs are equal. And as examples, I have here what we call the basic junction and a box configuration. And you can read the PQ labels now just from the slopes. Note the following points. These webs preserve 8 or 1/4 of the supersymmetries. Therefore, they are useful in several situations where you have 1/4 supersymmetries. The conditions, these two conditions plus the tension formula imply the mechanical equilibrium simply of each junction. And a PQ web, which I introduced abstractly, can be realized in type 2B both by five grains and by strings. Now that we have the webs, we can connect them to D3 grains. For example, this picture. This configuration will preserve 1/4 for the web times 1/2 for the D3 grains of the supersymmetries, and is expected to describe a 1/4 BPS state in the four-dimensional field theory. Now, it's not a big surprise that the mass of the web models exactly the BPS bound, as long as the web exists. However, if you look at the computation, the two computations are quite different. To get the BPS bound, you have to take the maximum of these Z1 and Z2, which are the eigenvalues of the central charge matrix Z for the N equals 4 theory, which is given by this field theoretic formula. Whereas the mass of the web is simply you have to take the length and multiply by the tension of each string. This mass equality was first shown for the basic junction that we saw before, and then was generalized to arbitrary webs. Now let's turn to the case of SU3 and see how it works there. For SU3, we have these three D3 grains that are in six dimensions, but three points are always define a plane. Therefore, a BPS state is always possible. These webs are always planar for any charges and for any moduli and for any coupling, except for the phenomenon of marginal stability. Sethi showed us how marginal stability occurs in N equals 2, and here we have a similar phenomenon. Look at this basic junction. Now if I move the D3 grain, that corresponds to changing the moduli of the field theory. When it reaches this point, we see that the state actually is at a critical point, or it has marginal stability to decay to a W plus a monopole. And if I move it any further, there will be no bound state anymore. So marginal stability occurs whenever a D3 grain meets a junction. And for given chargers, there is a wall of marginal stability in moduli space. I call it a wall because it is of codimension 1 in moduli space. The other thing that we learn about these BPS states is their spins. They turn out to be able to come in large multiplets. Let's see, how do we study this? In order to study the web quantum mechanically, one has to find the bosonic and fermionic zero modes. The multiplet structure is given by the ground state of the quantum mechanics. So we need to find this ground state. Now I'll describe first how we find the bosonic and fermionic zero modes. Actually, I will not describe how I find them, only the results. These webs have faces. Each face has a breathing mode or a bosonic zero mode, so the energy doesn't change. So the answer for bosonic zero mode is simply one mode per face, plus the three space translations. For the fermionic zero modes, it's slightly more interesting. We have 8 for each phase, and these are gotten from the bosonic zero modes by applying 8 locally preserved supersymmetries. We have globally 4 supersymmetries preserved, but the web itself preserves 8, and we can use all 8 of them to generate 8 per phase. In addition, there are 4 fermionic zero modes that come from each external egg, and they can be understood as coming from this mode, which is not really a bosonic zero mode. So I will call it non-BZM and non-bosonic zero mode, and I will not go into the details of this, but the final answer is that the number of fermionic zero modes equals 8 times the number of faces plus 4 times the number of external legs. So this gives us a strong prediction. Well, actually the prediction will come now, because the bosonic zero modes don't carry spin in the world volume directions, but the fermionic zero modes do. And we get the following bound on the spin. The spin is bounded by a quantity that is proportional to the number of fermionic zero modes and is given by this expression. In principle, we could do better than just give a bound. We could give the whole multiplet structure of these monopoles. But for that, we would have to really solve for the ground state of the quantum mechanics defined by these zero modes. I would like to give you one example of how this works. Suppose we're in SU3 and we want to describe a monopole of prescribed charges. So these are the electric and magnetic charges under the first U1, the second U1, and the third U1. They all sum to zero. In order to describe this monopole, we have to do the following thing. These are two-dimensional integer vectors, and they define a so-called grid diagram. So I drew here, and which I drew here. The lines here are simply lines that are orthogonal to these charge vectors. And the web is gotten from the grid diagram by taking the dual graph. So this will be the web, and indeed it has the correct PQ labels. Recall that we need the PQ label of the string that ends on the disk free grain is exactly the charges that we need. Now we have here this junction, which actually can be blown up and give 2 extra faces. We see these extra faces from the fact that we have here internal points. Of course, the mass will be equal to the BPS bound. Oh, before that, we do want the web to bound on the D3 grain. So we have one more degree of freedom. We're free to rotate the web in the plane to make it match the D3 grains. This can always be possible. And in this case, we can give a bound on the spin. Since we have 2 faces and 3 external legs, the spin will go from -5/2 to +5/2 at most. Well, what about the existence of this state that I'm describing in the field theory limit? First, motivated maybe partially by these results, there was a search for classical monopole solutions, and indeed some were found. Second way to think about it is to look at the quantum mechanics of the zero modes and ask whether there is a suitable Witten index that would not vanish. If that were true, and I'm saying if, then that would protect us, then that would protect these states in the field theory limit. Another question that we can ask is that we demonstrated that outside of marginal stability, states exist. How do we know that once we cross marginal stability, these states disappear? So this has to be checked in field theory. I don't know of any argument that says that in field theory they could not be there, or in field theory they are. So what do we know about SU3? Given any charges, there is a BPS state as long as it didn't pass the marginal stability wall. In some cases, the multiplet structure is known, and otherwise, in general, we have a bound on the spin. Now let's pass to the case of more than 4 colors. Now the configuration is generally non-planar. For example, start with this planar configuration. I believe I changed the F and D, so here the fundamental string is horizontal and here the D string is vertical. And suppose we pull one of the D3 brains off the plane, then the state cannot be BPS anymore. We may look for the lightest state carrying these charges. Because of charge conservation, such a state should exist unless it separates to two particles, and such a state would be a stable non-BPS state. So let's see what can we say. First note that the planar BPS configuration changes to non-BPS as moduli are changed, namely as I pulled off the D3 brain off the plane. So far we saw that the BPS state can decay to other BPS states, and we also know that BPS states in short or medium representations, multiplets, cannot become long. So how come we have here a BPS state changing to non-BPS as moduli are changed? Well, the resolution is that the planar states must lie in long multiplets, and then this transition is allowed. And one way to see it is from the formula for the fermionic zero modes. As we have four external legs, then we have 16 fermionic zero modes. This is exactly what you need to get a long multiplet. One should check whether these classically BPS states survive the field theory limit. That's why I put BPS in quotes, because I cannot be sure of that at the moment. But again, it might be that a Witten index protects it. As these non-BPS states are continuously connected to, as the non-BPS states, the non-planar configurations, are continuously connected to the planar long BPS states, it is reasonable to expect them to exist in some neighborhood of planarity, some neighborhood of the long BPS states. Well, it is not known how to compute the mass of the non-BPS monopoles, and you will hear tomorrow about other configurations of non-BPS states, but I would like to just suggest one way to start to think about these problems, and it's not necessarily good for the problem at hand, but I suggest to look at the following question. One may start by considering a non-planar web without D3 brains and before taking the field theory limit. So start with something like this, and again, pull out, well, forget the D3 brains, just look at it as infinite strings, and pull out of the plane one of the strings. When the distances between the junctions are large in string units, one expects a classical configuration of straight strings to minimize the energy. So we'll have a state with minimal action, with minimal energy, but it will not be BPS, so the mass will be strictly larger than the BPS limit. For smaller distances, one may expect that the quantum effective action will introduce forces between non-parallel strings. Since they're non-BPS, then we expect these forces between them. Such forces would possibly bend the strings. Okay. So let me summarize what we know about the case with more than four colors. We know that these long BPS states exist, at least in the web picture, on a submanifold in moduli space of planar configurations. We know the masses there, and we know there the spins, we know how to compute them in principle. For the stable non-BPS states, stable non-BPS states are expected generically. Their masses are unknown, and their spins are expected to be related to the spins of the relevant long BPS states to which they're connected. Finally, I'd like to mention some related subjects to this subject. So I've described all that we know at the moment about the spectrum. First, these same theories, the whole discussion can be translated to a mathematical terminology. The same theories can be gotten from type 2 string theory on K3 cross T2. And then we will be studying the supersymmetric cycles in K3 cross T2. And we will be looking for the same phenomenon to occur, namely marginal stability, counting of fermionic zero modes. Another topic that relates to non-BPS states is the question of the existence of non-BPS states in n equals 2 four-dimensional gauge theory. The pictures that we saw yesterday from CEPI showed us that when the monopole number is 2 or higher, we don't expect BPS states, but maybe there are states which are non-BPS. And I don't know that this was checked by anyone, but I believe this can be checked using techniques similar to the ones that Sen used for n equals 4. So all we should do is check whether the correction to the mass, the non-BPS correction to the mass, keeps it still lower than the sum of masses of the product that it would decay to. Okay. I see that I'm going fast, but I will leave some time for questions. And I would like to conclude with the question that I started with, whether we can completely determine the spectrum of four-dimensional n equals 4. Thanks for your attention.
Questions? Yes, sir. The question was, how explicitly can one describe the collective coordinates of the PQ web?
Okay, so we already counted what are the bosonic zero modes and the fermionic zero modes. All you have to do, other than that, is to know the metric on moduli space, that is the kinetic term. I believe that would be a complete specification, and that you can also read immediately off the web. It's just that you have to sum for each mode, you have to sum the masses of the edges that participate in that mode and weight them by the amplitude of each, by the square of the amplitude of each string. So you completely know the quantum mechanics. The reason that I don't know how to find the ground state of this quantum mechanics is that the moduli space, the bosonic zero modes, are moving on a compact space, because when the face expands, it finally hits the D3 brains. So it's a compact domain.
That's my question. And what you just mentioned is a local.
Well, so you have to introduce the correct boundary conditions at these points. You can call it. I would not say that it's local but not global. I would say that you still need to introduce the correct boundary conditions on the different modes at the boundaries of this of the values that the bosonic mode can take. Does that answer?
Well, it would be nice to have an example where you're building out a module. You have an example where you're actually not a module.
Well, the simplest example would be the basic junction. In this example, there are no bosonic zero modes. There are only fermionic zero modes. Therefore, it's very easy to write down the quantum mechanics, and it's simply the 2 to the 6 multiplet. So in that case, we know exactly. Same for other cases where you don't have bosonic zero modes. For the case of the box, then you will have one bosonic zero mode, which will take values of an interval. I believe that in that case, I also know the answer maybe from other considerations, but I don't know the answer in general.
John?
Do you think these studies could be used to compute entropy?
The question was, can these studies be used to compute entropy?
Thank you. Obviously you have here a counting of all the stable states of the gauge theory. But I think that in order to compute entropy, you need to know more. These are only single particle states. So maybe it is a first step in that direction.
Okay, let's thank the speaker again.